Good morning. A Monday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Never a shortage of topics to bring to you, Alan. Let's talk first about Hong Kong. I was listening to the BBC this morning. Protesters use a steel cart to breach the doors of the Legislative Council hours after a ceremony commemorating the city's return to Chinese control.
Well, look, the people in Hong Kong don't want what they've got, which is they don't want China being the master of the people in Hong Kong. The Chinese, of course, are a dictatorship, no question. They won the fight with England, handed over Hong Kong, and now we have a situation where the shock of recognition is setting in, and the Hong Kong residents in massive numbers have made it plain that this is unacceptable. We have the history of Tiananmen, which is representative of what the Chinese are capable of, and there are those who think that the Chinese will not do that again, will not use bullets, will not kill people, will not go that way. I'm not so sure. I hope those who believe it won't happen are right, but dictatorships are dictatorships. And if you lose power, once you say, okay, we're going to put up with this, or we'll allow change based on numbers of people's democracy from the people, then you have given up what you had in terms of your might. And it would be clear to me that things would change and be changing. So the Chinese have got to be sitting there thinking, what do we do? Are we going to go in? Are we going to permit this to happen? Or are we going to use all of the kind of totalitarian might we have used before? It's a tough one for them, but I wouldn't want to make any bets.
Meanwhile, in our relations with China, the U.S. and China are talking trade again. There's a truce between Washington and Beijing. It's sent stocks in Asia rising, says the New York Times, though worry lingers. The president again in international negotiations.
Well, yeah, you know, this is the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal. That's what he thinks he's doing. And this is a man who can step over into North Korea, meet with one of the most heinous dictators in the history of the world, oppressing his people and the rest of it, describing him as a good friend and repulsing most people who follow this kind of thing, saying nothing means anything to be able to say something like that. The president of the United States is extraordinary and it's sickening, but he says it. And he says, okay, I'm going to back down. We're going to give the North Koreans a great deal of what they wanted. In the case of China, it just isn't clear what he's up to. As you know, he put massive tariffs on Chinese goods. He threatened to raise it even further. Now he's saying we're going to wait on that. The stock markets go up, and we'll see whether or not there can be any kind of an agreement. If, in fact, the Chinese have decided intellectual property, bah, we don't care about that, and we're not going to back off on it, I don't see where we're getting any further. The president obviously has to deal with the stock markets and everybody else who are telling him something.
And what about the president's family, specifically Ivanka Trump, who this article from the Washington Post I looked at this morning said played a prominent role in the Asia trip, actually walking over into the DMZ?
The Trump family are an extension of Trump, obviously. Things don't happen without a reason. When you have Ivanka Trump make that short trip, it speaks volumes about where the Trumps are. When the son attacks Kamala Harris on racial grounds and then, quote, takes it back or deletes this very upsetting tweet, it's, again, a part of the program that these folks are following. It's one of the reasons that so many Americans are repulsed by Trump. It's one of the reasons he's never had a 50% approval rating, which is regarded in politics as the way in which we evaluate. It's because they are following a specific program and doing what they're doing. That's all.
You referenced Kamala Harris. A number of Democrats, including the 2020 candidates, coming to her defense after this retweet by Donald Trump Jr., including Joe Biden, who she attacked over race issue, the busing, during the debate. And that despite the fact that Biden's folks have been saying she went low.
Well, you know, they can say what they want. She is extremely popular right now. She's raised a great deal of money in a couple of days, $2.5 million in donations. She's bright. She's aggressive. And you have to ask yourself this, David, what would they or should they have done, no matter what they may think of her rise in the polls and everything else, if they don't stand together? They would be in a bad spot. So every one of them seems to have come around and done the right thing. I'm proud of them all. I don't think they had much of a choice, but they did what they did. I'm a great believer that when they go low, it is a prime moment for everybody to stand together and say, this will not pass. Kamala Harris is quite a success story right now. It would appear that she is the one that they are all going to have to beat in order to get to the top spot. It's that simple. She's doing extremely well. She's very bright, and it's clear she's a great speaker. And looks to me as if she'll be either the VP candidate or the presidential candidate.
Meanwhile, from the AP, On Edge, 2020 Dems face prospect of being cut from debates. Short on support and money and bound by tough party rules, once soaring politicians may soon be seen as also runs and includes names like Cory Booker, Julian Castro, and Kirsten Gillibrand.
Well, right. And Cory Booker is quite a presence. And if he leaves the race, it is obvious that it will have been quite a defeat. You know, he was expected to do better than he is doing. Gillibrand, we've said enough about. You know, she's tried. She hasn't been able to break out. She's tried to make the women's issues her issues, but it hasn't really worked out for her. And, you know, she's going to be quite a presence in the United States Senate.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Always great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, David. You're terrific.